to now and hear God's word from the gospel. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and dwelt in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. That what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, toward the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of shadows of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity among the people. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me again? Loving God, we thank you for how you are revealed to us in the scriptures. As we stop now and consider these words, once again, we ask you to speak to our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the aftermath of the 1932 German presidential election, much at the time was still unclear. No one knew how the newly appointed Chancellor of Germany would impact the world, but he did impact it, didn't he? A few months later, this new Chancellor seized power for himself and his party at the death of President Hindenburg, and the wheels that set the Third Reich into motion began to move toward their horrible conclusion. The clergy at that time, and in the upcoming years that would be leading on, were not entirely sure how to respond to the growing political pressure the Nazis were placing upon them. And so they just fell in line with the political party rather than risk persecution. They believed it was far better to hold fast to Christ's teachings in secret rather than die in public. It's always easier, isn't it, to compromise in the moment rather than to hold fast to what we have been taught and what has been revealed to us by Jesus. As the government continued to press in on human liberties, a growing number of German Lutherans spoke out from the relative safety of their adopted homes, either in America or London or Poland. One of these men would later return to Germany, and he would accept responsibility for his role in the assassination attempt of Adolf Hitler. He was hanged in a concentration camp nearly a decade after all of this stuff started to begin. In 1937, with today's text in mind, Bonhoeffer said to us, "When the Bible speaks of following Jesus, it is proclaiming a discipleship which will liberate mankind from every burden and oppression, from every anxiety and every torture. We can only achieve perfect liberty and enjoy fellowship with Jesus when his command, his call to absolute discipleship, is appreciated in its entirety." The call to absolute discipleship begins for us as the church in Matthew 4. As Jesus calls his first disciples to follow him. Matthew's gospel places the soon-to-be disciples in their home region, around the lake, working as fishermen. It is there that Jesus comes among them, to be with them. First, as we know, Andrew and Peter are called. They were casting their nets into the sea, verse 18. They did their jobs. In this story, these two symbolize hard work, and their actions, in their actions, they show life operating normally. Peter and Andrew would wake in the morning, head to the port or water's edge, prepare for their work, and begin fishing. When the day was done, the cycle was done in reverse. They headed home to do it all again tomorrow. Normal life, a life we know and a life we experience, our daily walk. Jesus goes to that spot first, the normal spot, and he calls them. Then Matthew shifts the narrative to the brothers, the sons of thunder, James and to John. They too are fishermen. But what Jesus finds them doing is interesting. They are working with their father in the family business, as fishermen will do. But unlike Andrew and Peter, they are called specifically while they are doing something. In this case, they are mending their nets. Jesus comes to these two sets of people, and he calls them to follow. One from the normal, the everyday task, the other doing something necessary, but often unseen. Both will be called to become fishers of men and women. For you see, fishing, like much of our daily grind, is hard work. The hard-working idea of fishing is again demonstrated in the gospel after Jesus' death, when in that story, Peter picks up his nets and tells the now resurrected Messiah, "We've been up all night fishing, and we have nothing to show for it." Working hard in the normalcy of life. When Jesus finds them, either at this end of the gospel or that, work is hard. But James and John this morning are sitting with their father in the boat, mending. Few things on a Boy Scout supply list always remained the same, regardless of the length of the trip or the destination we were going on. Sure, we needed clothes, a pillow, a good sleeping bag, but the rest of the stuff was up for negotiation. There was what was always there was a toothbrush, a first aid kit, and a spool of jute twine. Soap and shampoo could be negotiated. Sorry, that's what you get with a bunch of teenage boys living in the woods. Not a toothbrush, that has to come, and definitely not the jute. Jute twine holds knots very, very well. Get it wet, and it doesn't break easily. It's reliable, it is durable. Made from a plant fiber, it's not going to harm the environment should you leave a small piece of it behind. While many other twines are made with oil or have oil in them, jute does not. We used it so much, this jute twine, for our backpacks and for our trip, that our local Ashland, Ohio Home Hardware stocked the green package would run out a couple of times every year as 40 or 50 boys descended on the local hardware store and bought it all, every bit of it. Our demand on the product became so bad that the manager actually telephoned our scoutmaster to make sure he had the camping schedule every year so he knew when we'd be coming. The need for the twine becoming so familiar that our scoutmaster stopped describing it on the list as a roll of jute twine or 50 feet of suitable twine and just wrote, jute. We knew. It came in handy for a lot of things, you see. Strap torn on your backpack, get the jute. Need to tie the dining fly down in the rain or hold your tent in a certain position. Jute will do it and it won't break. Lose too much weight backpacking so your belt won't fit, or in some of our cases, you lost that belt. Jute. There's nothing better to hang a bag of food in a tree to keep it away from bears than jute wound or braided up. You see, jute can mend what is broken. Taking that which is gently broken into your hands and gently but firmly tying it back together in a new way, a way that makes it stronger than what it was, feels like a spiritual act. In a fishing context where old connections of twine and netting were broken apart, those which had been broken under the daily, normal, constant pressure of local fishermen, new connections were tied into place and a new net takes shape. Those connections replace the old in what also feels not just spiritual, but creative. But the mending James and John are doing that Matthew reports, like the life we know here, is hard work. You can tie as many knots together to knit something back to its original shape, sort of, but it doesn't always hold permanently. Sometimes all the relational mending, all the jute twine you can snag from home hardware, all the love and attention you can muster can't mend all the holes in the net. We mend up one hole, tie something together to fix the gap we know is present, and find a new hole has opened in a place we didn't expect it because of the newly added tension in life. Yet that does not mean we stop tying as disciples or trying to mend the nets back together to be fishers of men and women, to live the life of absolute discipleship. This is the spot, the place of mending, where Jesus finds the two brothers and ultimately calls those disciples to follow him. He calls them to continue to do the healing, the mending work, to find the places where tearing and the ripping of life has wounded people deeply, individually, a way that seems impossible to braid back together or tie up any longer. The string is just too fragile to hold anything any longer. He finds them there. Go to that spot, Jesus says. Find it. You know what the work looks like. You've done it before. Find it and mend it. Tie it back together. Tie your faith into their faith. Create something new. Be the church. This is a large part of what it means to follow Jesus, to become fishers of men, that he tells the disciples in the gospel. Look for the holes in where I'm sending you. And then with a gentle touch, a consistent touch, work hard to mend them up. Like James and John with their nets, applies to us as well. Certainly, Peter and Andrew represent the daily lives we know and often find ourselves with, but the future disciples mending their nets with their Father beside them are symbolic of how the work of the cross shifts sometimes from regularity, from normal, the daily grinding of life, and into compassionate, caring work that mirrors the care and presence that Christ has done with us when he's tied us literally back together, when the holes seem too big, the rips too great, and we are too broken. This is also what Bonhoeffer was speaking about when he coined that phrase in 1937 of absolute discipleship. The perfect fellowship, the joy of being together, the ability to address every burden and oppression, from every anxiety and every torture, comes from being together and spending time together mending. Each of us is called to do ministries like this. We are each called, indeed called, to be present, to get our hands into it, to find our own version, whatever it may look like, of your jute twine, and put it in your hands and begin the work of healing and mending in your community. That doesn't mean it's going to be simple. Doesn't mean it's going to be neat. It doesn't mean it's going to be tidy. I am sure the brothers, like anyone who has spent any time mending anything, would feel their hands get tired. Their souls and their bodies get a little worn out from tying it back together again. But that's what the work of absolute discipleship is that Jesus calls us to do. A consistent, a long-suffering, an ever-present mending of what we find out in the world around us that is broken, that is wounded, that needs that grace of God to tie it back together. Let us pray now together.